Friends, welcome to the Now's the Time podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Succo, and today we are talking about mistakes parents make when it comes to family devotions or family Bible study. So stick with us, and we're going to be talking about some mistakes that definitely I have made as a father in trying to give a biblical foundation for our children. It's hard sometimes, you know, it really is hard. And I guess more than anything, I want to share with you some of our personal struggles when it comes to family Bible study, family devotions, and hopefully just talking through some of those things, maybe that'll help both of us, all of us, to be more committed to God's word, be more committed to God's word personally, and also more committed to God's word in our families. I think that's very important. This is the Now's the Time podcast, which is a podcast that I try and do it a couple times a month. And I am in Odessa, Ukraine right now. What I focus on in this podcast is topics that relate to evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, of his death and resurrection, and the offer of forgiveness of sins, and how we can effectively share that news with others. And also about discipleship. I do like to talk about discipleship too, because really in the Bible, discipleship and evangelism are not really separate things. But all that to say that now is the time that we have to use in order to effectively communicate that message to others. And really, in doing that, that is an act of worship. If you believe that God is who he says he is, then you must worship him. One of the greatest ways that you can worship him is by telling others about his greatness, telling others about his love, telling others about salvation that is found only in him. And so that's what I focus on in this podcast, and I want to share with you just news items. Well, you know, I guess it's been like a month since I did the podcast, so I do have a couple of news items I want to share with you. And then we'll get to the topic of family devotions, and I have seven mistakes that certainly have been present in my life, and probably something that you've seen as well. We'll talk about those in some ways that we can effectively do family Bible study together. But as far as the news goes, boy, yesterday was a big day, Palm Sunday here in Ukraine, and I preached at our church, and then we went and did the outreach to our soldiers. You know, the outreach is such a blessing to me, because it's just an opportunity to preach the gospel to people that have never really heard the gospel preached before. And sometimes, friends, sometimes that means that they have some questions that can be pretty uncomfortable. We usually do a service for them with music and singing, and then I also preach, and then afterwards we kind of have an informal just time, and it's usually in that informal time that they begin to ask some of the deeper questions. They begin to ask questions about God. They begin to ask questions about life and death. I mean, they're soldiers. They're probably going to go to the front lines of the war, and so it's been stretching to me to answer those questions, but also I just find it so invigorating to preach the gospel to people that have never really heard it before, and just to share that hope with them. So really, would ask for your prayers for the 28th Mechanized Brigade right outside of Odessa here. Yesterday we had a choir come from a neighboring church, and we had a good turnout for that. And then afterwards, myself and two other guys from our church, we spent about an hour and a half or so just informally talking with these guys, drinking coffee and tea and eating cookies and trying to answer their questions about God. And so that was a blessed time. But do pray for these soldiers, pray for their safety, and pray for their faith. Pray for their faith. Also, I did want to mention, I talked in this podcast, I think last time, about our Mission in the Family Conference. We had that last month on March 25th. What a blessing that was. A number of other pastors came, spoke at that conference, and I spoke at the conference. I think I did put a video out on our YouTube channel and Facebook page with a little bit of update on that. But it was just, and this podcast episode is really sort of like coming out of that conference, because one of my pastor friends, Alexander Skripak, he spoke on how to communicate the gospel to children. And one of the things that he emphasized was the need, our need as parents, to communicate God's word to them effectively. And that was a little bit, I would have to say that that was a little bit convicting for me to hear about that, because I'm not always faithful in studying the Bible with my kids, you know. And so I decided to do this podcast episode kind of as a result of that conference. It was an encouragement and an exhortation and kind of a guilty feeling in me too, as I thought about that. Now, so anyway, thank you for praying for the conference. It went really well. We had people from, I think, about a dozen different churches show up to the conference, and right now we're still actually processing the video from that conference. We put all the video, we try as much as possible to put all the video up online so that it can be a blessing for others. We also live stream these events and things like that. So of course it's all in Russian, unfortunately. I don't know, maybe I'll translate some of those videos or something. If I have time, I probably won't. But if you do speak Russian, that's up on our site called blagovestia.today, Blagovestia Today, which means Evangelism Today. And that's where we put up all kinds of articles on evangelism, discipleship, and as well as good teaching and preaching on those things as well. That's all in Russian. So anyway, that's the update about the Mission the Family Conference. What a blessing. And also our soldier outreach that we had yesterday. I came away, I was so tired yesterday after all of that. But let's get to this topic now, okay? And, you know, friends, I'd really like to hear from you on this topic too, kind of see what you think. Maybe you have some suggestions of how you can, or how we can do family devotions or Bible reading better with our family. But let me give you a little bit of background, I guess, about, you know, myself. And I grew up, I grew up in a Christian family. And so we did have family Bible reading time together, usually in the evenings, usually right after dinner. It wasn't every day, but it was often. And I'm very grateful that I grew up and had that tradition in my family. And so once I began to have children, if you don't know, I have 5 children now. The oldest is almost 18 and the youngest is 7. And so once I started having children, that was something that I wanted to do. I felt like that was something that was important for our family and for my children. But, you know, through that process, you realize that it's not always so simple as you think. For one thing, we're not always able to have dinner together all the time. You know, and so the time, the more kids you have, the more complicated that gets. So if you have one child, it might be a little bit easier. But once you get 5, 6, 7, 8 or more, I have 5, but it gets more difficult because kids start going in different directions as far as like their schedules go. And so it gets hard to be able to gather them together all at one time every day. But we've tried as much as possible to institute that into our lives, into our family. And there's a number of difficulties that I've noticed pop up and some, like I said, failures. And the first one that I want to share with you, and maybe these first two will seem a little, I guess, like obvious, but then again, maybe not. The first, I think, problem that we run into, that I run into with Bible study for family, is that if I'm not studying God's word myself, then I really have nothing to give to my children. And so I think that is it's a bigger problem than probably we'd like to admit. But if I'm not continually filling my own heart and mind with God's word, then I really have nothing left. I'm empty. And so it's a chore. It just seems like a laborious thing for me to open the Bible and try to share some truths with with my children if I have not been consistent and regular in my own personal Bible study? And I have certainly felt that at times with my own family. And so, friends, we, you and I, have to be very consistent and deep and in our own Bible study, in our own personal Bible study. We just can't expect to give our kids what we don't have ourselves. And I really appreciated in our Mission in the Family conference, like I said, Pastor Alexander Skripak, he emphasized this point of parents, do you want your children to know the Bible? Do you want them to grow, have a deep faith? Then you need to do that yourself. And I think the text of Scripture that I always tend to come back to on this is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses says to the people of Israel, he says, let these words be on your heart. That's the prerequisite. Let them be on your heart. And then he says now, and teach them to your children. And so Moses gives a very clear prerequisite. After he repeated the Ten Commandments, he says, let these words be on your heart. So, friends, don't let that slip by. You can look at your family and think, yes, I want them to have a wonderful, strong, biblical foundation. Then you need to have one yourself, okay? So that's the first way, I think, first mistake that often parents make is just not having that Bible study themselves. And then, of course, the second mistake is similar. And that's just not doing Bible reading or Bible study with your family. Assuming that maybe Sunday school is enough, or I know that I have the temptation of assuming that like my kids are homeschooled and they have a Becca and I know they get a lot of Bible. But it's Bible, you know, it's through videos. They do get a lot of Bible teaching. They have a lot of Bible knowledge. I mean, comparatively to other children, most likely. My children have a lot of Bible knowledge. But I have to understand that they need specific instruction from me. Why? Because I can see things in their life, specific things, specific tendencies, specific problems, because I'm a person. And there's just something about having biblical truth that is communicated to you in a personal form that I don't know if it's just the Holy Spirit often decides to work that way more, but I'm a person. As a father, I have greater influence on them and responsibility for them. And so it's very important that I don't just assume that, okay, if they're in Sunday school or they go to a Christian school or whatever, or Awana, that is enough for my child. I need to take the responsibility as a parent. As a father, I need to take that responsibility seriously and understand that there is nothing like communication of biblical truth from a father or a mother to a child. That means more than anything. So don't give your responsibility completely to someone else. I'm not saying don't send your child to Sunday school or Awana or anything like that. That's great. But they need the constant reminder from you. They need that constant input from you as a parent. That is so, so vital, important. Now, the third mistake that I think is a temptation, especially when we're tired and everything, is to turn the Bible study time with family into just Bible reading. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Bible reading. You need to do Bible reading with your family. And sometimes when we do it, I actually pass the Bible around because that gives my children a chance to read those words, to say those words out loud, and maybe to think about those words a little bit more. It makes them feel like part of it. So reading is important, but family Bible study should be Bible study. It needs to include more than reading. So that means that you, as a parent, need to be ready to give explanations for what you read. It's not good when we just read through Scripture and assume that they understand it. Maybe they do understand it, but they haven't seen how that could be applied to their specific lives. So help your children, first of all, understand what is that Scripture talking about? Who is it talking about? What is it telling us about God? Why is this important? And then help them understand how they might be able to apply that specific Scripture, that specific truth, into the details of their life. That is important. You are basically preaching to your children, and that's what you need to do. Bible study has to include understanding of the text, explanation of the text, and application of the text. And so please don't skip that point. And I know that for me, sometimes I'm just tired, you know, and so I'll just read and say, okay, close the Bible, let's pray, and we're done with it. I suppose that's better than nothing, but the children need the explanation. And then the fourth mistake that I want to talk about is doing your family Bible study in a way that does not allow or allows for very little interaction or questions from your children. I try my best to make the Bible study interactive. I want them to feel like it's more of a conversation, although I will probably do more of the talking because I'm the one giving the instruction. But I want them to ask questions. When they ask questions, that means they're thinking. I ask them questions, and I wait to hear the answer. I don't just tell them everything immediately. But make sure that you give your child the freedom to ask questions and to interact with you during family Bible study. And I think that will also bring a little more life to your family Bible study rather than just like, oh, dad is going to talk now for 15 minutes or 20 minutes about this verse of Scripture. And then their brains just kind of shut off. So make sure it's interactive, that you're asking questions and they're asking questions, okay? Number five, the fifth mistake is choosing the wrong passages. Listen, you have limited time, okay? Think about this. Even if you do family Bible study every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, you're not going to get through the whole Bible in a year. Not even close, okay? Because you're probably not going to be reading 5, 6, 7 chapters a day. And if you were, I would say that's probably too much, okay? So you have to choose what passages you are going to be reading with your kids. And I suggest that you look at that and you try to have a balance of types of passages. But I tend to emphasize narrative passages, that's passages that are telling a story, okay? So you see a lot of that like in Genesis, first part of Exodus, it's interspersed through Numbers, okay? And I try to use a lot of narrative passages, but then of course, and of course in the Gospels, you have a lot of narrative, and then of course, It's fine. Use some of the epistles, some of the letters that are more theological. And also, one thing that I really, I try pretty regularly to read to my kids is Proverbs. And the reason that I do that is because the Proverbs were generally, most of them, were written specifically for the younger generation. And so one of the things that if you ask my kids, probably they'll say, yeah, he reads this, the Proverbs a lot, but not only because I understand that I have to give them a balance. So I want to give them some narrative of the Old Testament. I want to give them some wisdom literature. That's Proverbs. Some of that is Psalms too, and I want to give them some gospel and some some theology from Paul's letters. And so those are kind of the general genres that I try and hit. I usually don't, you know, I don't read a lot of like just pure law passages because my time is limited. How much I can read to them. I don't read a lot of like genealogies and stuff like that, but we may talk about some of those things, okay? So choose passages that would hopefully be somewhat understandable by the kids. And of course, that depends a little bit on their age. And I have to just, you know, be honest with you, it gets hard when you have children of many different ages. You know, I have from 7 years old until 17 right now, almost 18. So that can kind of get hard, but it can be done. And we need to be careful and choose passages that will connect with them. Okay, two more failures here, mistakes that we make. Number six is being too rigid. Now, of course, it's a mistake not to do devotions at all, but I think it's a mistake to be too rigid. What I mean is by too rigid is just to set this as a law that can never ever be changed, that every day at 7 p.m. we're reading the Bible for 23 minutes or something like that. I think that there needs to be some flexibility in here because life is just kind of that way. And when you have an opportunity, squeeze it in. Use different opportunities that you have. In general, the way that we do family devotions is before bed. Okay. Sometimes we'll do it a little bit earlier in the day. Actually, sometimes on Saturday mornings, because we'll usually have a kind of a more relaxed Saturday morning, we'll do it right after breakfast. And then sometimes if we have an earlier dinner, oftentimes we eat dinner here like at 3, 4 p.m., we may even do it then. But generally speaking, we do it right before bed. Why? Because everyone's kind of done with their tasks. It's a time when we usually gather all the kids and we'll gather them in the living room and sit them down and I'll read a passage, but we'll talk about it, and we also use that time just to kind of talk about some of the things of the day, some things that are happening, and connect with the children, and then connect their lives with God's word. So don't be too rigid about it. We do not manage to do it every single day. We try to do it as much as possible. But I would say on average, it's four times a week or so. So don't be too rigid about it, because then you can get disappointed and it can kind of become a burden, I think. And then finally, the last mistake that I think oftentimes we make is that we fail to make Bible study, family Bible study, a way of life. And what I mean by that is, again, go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 7 and how Moses talked about how the Israelites should communicate God's revelation to their children. And he talks about this idea of when you're walking along, when you're sitting down, when you're lying down in your bed. And it's just this idea of this overall understanding that I need to be communicating God's word to my children in many different areas and aspects of life, that I need to use every opportunity to communicate God's word. And I think that that's so important. Use those teaching points in life when you see something that where they need to make a decision, or you see maybe a mistake that they've made, or when you see something that they've done really well, and use that for a teaching point to say, let me show you how Scripture talks about this. Let me show you how God thinks about this. And that has to be something that as parents that we really are aware of the opportunities that we have throughout the day to be able to give little bits and pieces of God's truth to our children. And of course, there's no, you know, recipe for success that means that guarantees that our children will be faithful and will love God. But boy, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with regular Bible teaching that comes from a parent to a child. There is nothing better than that. And so I want to encourage you, friends, to have that kind of relationship with your child that will help them understand who God is and how He interacts in their life and how He wants them to live. And I think that there's a lot of blessing in that. So, friends, blessings to you, and may God bless you through the study of His Word, especially in your families. If you want to connect with us online, I recommend that if you're on Facebook, you check out the Facebook page for the Now's the Time podcast called Now's the Time. Also, if you want to check out the podcast on iTunes, it is on iTunes, and definitely would appreciate a review or feedback on iTunes, a rating that would help the podcast to get out to other people. So appreciate that. And if you just want to connect with us and let us know how you're doing or that you're praying for us, we always appreciate that. And you can find a contact on our site, succofamily.org. I think there's a contact there where you can leave a voicemail or write us a note. And friends, we really do appreciate that. So, all right, friends, that's it for this episode of the Now's the Time podcast. And until next time, be blessed.